You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reformed book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent usage of sarcasm may occur. So, welcome, and thank you for joining me. Just a little heads up here. Dealing with a little bit of a cold, but I really wanted to get this recorded, so my apologies for the occasional that you may hear. I'll try to edit them out, but they happen. I have my Yeti full of water. So should be good to go there. And I also have a sleeping dog next to me. So if you hear snoring or some, little chime jingling, that's her. She's being a little clingy pup today. So we're just going to do what we can do while I have the fluffy mutt next to me. But so let's dive in first with some feedback from last week. Last week's episode was about discreet book covers. And I did get quite a bit of feedback and had some really wonderful conversations with some authors after the podcast. And I wanted to share a little bit about that and give some feedback on that also. And a lot of the feedback from authors was how they chose their covers and why they chose those covers. And what I found really interesting was the number of authors commenting about the mean and hurtful messages that they've gotten from readers, some of whom actually practically demanded that authors offer discreet covers for all of their books so the readers could feel comfortable reading their books around their families and kids and other relatives and at work. And while I totally get the concern, and we did talk about that, there's a way to express things like that. And insulting the author and making demands is probably not the best way to go about it. So I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here and that this isn't something that anyone who's listening has ever done. If you have, stop it. Don't do that. But a few suggestions for readers who really love authors with explicit covers, and I'm talking about the bare chest, suggestive poses, things like that, that love those authors but don't feel comfortable reading those paperbacks around other people. One, e-readers are amazing. I was a paperback reader forever, and I was really reluctant to make the switch to Kindle. I did for convenience, because if I'm going on vacation and I bring my Kindle with me, I can bring 100 books. If I'm going on vacation and bringing paperbacks, I'll probably bring in one or two. So I got it for the convenience, but it's also really good if you want to read something and you don't want everybody to know what you're reading. So get an e-reader, try it, make the switch, just do it. Another thing you can do is you can buy book covers on Amazon or another retailer that will cover the cover of your book. Now, I had a few people who mentioned that they do that because they don't like to mess up the covers of their books and they don't want to take a chance of spilling something on it. So they get these cool covers from Amazon and they use those. You can also make a book cover. I'm old enough to remember making book covers for my textbooks in high school because if we turned in a book that was all marked up, then we had to pay for it. And also in college, because then we could sell our books and they looked all brand new and we got more money for them. So you can find those online. Just Google making a book cover and it'll teach you how to make a book cover that will fit the book you're reading perfectly. So that way you can take it with you. You can make one for the book that you're reading now. You can make one that you can use forever, but whatever you do and however you choose to express your thoughts about a cover to an author, please keep in mind to always be kind in your opinion. Authors put a lot of work into their book covers and they choose covers that are representative of the books that they write. So yelling at them on their page or in their direct messages is not going to get you a different cover. It may get you banned from their page, but it's not going to get them to do another cover. In fact, some of them may just dig their heels in and say, nope, not going to do it, just because I like what I have and I don't like the attitude you took towards it. So remember, think before you speak or type, and always, always, always please be kind. Authors are artists. Respect their work and respect the effort that goes into it and have a conversation or a discussion, not an argument about why they should do something for you. So there we go. Got that out of the way. Little sip of water. Puppy snoring again. And on to this week's topic, which interestingly may circle back around to some of that book cover talk. But this is nearly a week ago. It's Thursday, July 14th, and nearly a week ago, last Friday, Pippa Grant, one of my favorite authors, nearly broke the internet when she broke the news that Cooper Rock is finally getting a book. He's finally talking to her, and we're going to get to read it in September. Now, if you know Pippa, if you don't, please get to know Pippa. She is like the standalone rom-com queen. She is amazing. Her books are phenomenal, and they are just incredibly well-written, funny, fun books. Of course, she broke the news while I was in the shower. So I came out of the shower, TMI maybe, and I opened up Facebook, and I had multiple messages, over a dozen, from several reader friends, all asking if I'd heard Pippa's big announcement. And I was like, Pippa's got a big announcement? What can it be? She's got a book coming out really, really soon. Maybe it's something about that. Maybe it's a giveaway. I don't know. No idea what they were all so excited about. And then in one of the message previews, I saw the word Cooper. And I think I squealed so loudly that I probably disturbed everyone within a 5-mile radius of my house. So if you live within 5 miles of me and you heard that, sorry, not sorry. I was super freaking excited about that one word, Cooper. And this is a really big freaking deal. If you know Cooper, or if you know Pippa or not, you don't know Cooper that well because he's refused to speak to Pippa for a while. Readers have been wanting his book, seems like forever, and he's been a stubborn little shit, and he wouldn't talk to Pippa. So when this announcement hit, those of us in the Pippaverse, yeah, we went all a little bit bonkers. And here's the coolest thing that I found about that. We all went nuts for a character who doesn't even have a book yet. We went nuts for a character who has been adamantly, stubbornly, silently refusing to give Pippa his book. Even though we've all been waiting, even though we've all wanted it, just wasn't happening. So when that announcement was made, we did go a little bit crazy and a little bit excited about Cooper Rock getting his book. Okay, little tangent, but maybe not. I love an author who listens to their characters, and I mean really listens to their characters, because let's be honest here. An author trying to force a character to tell their story is kind of like forcing a toddler to put socks on before you leave the house. There will be tears. There will be yelling. You're still going to leave the house, but without the socks, and everybody's angry. It just doesn't end well. So huge applause to Pippa for giving the toddler, Cooper Rock, space, ignoring him while he sat there waiting for her attention, and then embraced him when he finally decided it was time to put his socks on and leave the house. Because Pippa ignored him. She did. She took a reader's advice, and she completely ignored him. And finally, he decided, huh, maybe I do have a lot to say. And then he was ready to talk, and she was ready to listen. And I am so freaking excited about the book. And I am even more excited about the energy that the announcement created. Pippa did a live, and she was so excited on the live that her energy was absolutely infectious. I was sitting there smiling and laughing and super excited when I watched the playback, because again, she made this announcement while I was in La La Land in the shower writing things on my Aqua Notes about things I wanted to write in the new blog and talk about in the new podcast. Completely oblivious to all of this. But when I got out and online, the energy and excitement was already there and it was building, and the way people responded was fantastic. What a beautifully awesome testament to the power of books, writers, and the characters that they bring to people and that then brings people together. And this isn't the first time I've seen this. I kind of call it the book boyfriend phenomenon. I think a lot of people call it that, but it's actually pretty common. And it's not just for upcoming announced books. A lot of times it involves books that are already out in the Bookiverse somewhere, in the Bookosphere, Romantosphere, Romantiverse, whatever you want to call it. When someone finds and reads a book about a character with a huge following, there's a magic that comes into play with that. And I love that, the way those characters bring people together. So, okay. Walk with me for a little bit with the brain squirrels for a couple minutes. I'm bringing this up, all kinds of thoughts. I'm making some notes. If you hear me tapping, that's what I'm doing, about characters that we connect with and how they connect us to other readers and to their authors. So every reader has a favorite character or dozen, whether you read romance or not. But within Romantica, and there seems to be that book boyfriend effect where certain characters reach legend status within and across the author realms and genres. These are the characters whom, when they're mentioned, get thousands of fingers typing about how much they're loved. Every reader has that favorite or rolling top five. So, okay, top five. It reminds me of the list that everyone has with their significant other that allows them to, air quotes, cheat with certain celebs if they are ever given the opportunity. Okay, you know the list. It has to be written down, but it doesn't have to be laminated. If you're a Friends fan, the episode with Isabella Rossellini. If you're not a Friends fan, or if you're a Friends fan but you haven't seen it, just look up the episode with the list with Isabella Rossellini about when Ross makes up his list of the celebs that he can safely cheat with, that he and Rachel are agreeing on, and he laminates the list so it's final and it's set in stone, and he takes Isabella Rossellini off the list, and then she shows up and she's like, but it's laminated and I'm not on it. It's so adorable. Anyway, every romance reader has those characters where in your mind, I know they're fictional. We all know they're fictional characters, but gosh, we fall so deeply in love with these characters. It's a thing, and it might sound completely ridiculous to anyone outside looking in, but those of you who are with me on this journey, you know exactly what I'm talking about it. And how freaking awesome is it that a human, the author, has created a character so vividly intense and real that other humans, the readers, connect with them on such a deep level? Now, we know they're not real, but they are. They're so real that we talk about them with other readers as if they truly exist outside the pages and outside of our imaginations. It's really, is it any different than crushing on a character in a movie or an actor who plays that character in a movie or TV show? It's just that the actor doesn't exist outside of that character. The character exists for the sole purpose, the actor exists for the sole purpose of that character. Does that make sense? It does to me. I hope it does to you. We all know those characters who jump off the page and become so vivid in their own right that we really do start to make connections with other readers over those characters. And when things happen with them, like getting their own book or maybe showing up in another character's book as a crossover, we fangirl those guys really, really hard. Or those girls. You know, we fangirl hard for them too. And this spawns some discussions about realism and expectations. And, okay, I'm going to kind of slide quote another famous character here. Just because they're in our heads or on the page doesn't mean they aren't real, right? They kind of become real to us through the expectations that we have for other people and the types of people that they are built into those characters. Okay, so let me bring it together here a little bit, because I get really excited about this, if you couldn't tell. Here's the thing. Nobody really wants to get themselves caught up in an organized crime syndicate war, but you know that swoony, sexy Irish billionaire businessman? Let me say that five times fast. Sexy Irish billionaire businessman assassin. There we go. The swoony, sexy Irish billionaire businessman assassin who runs part of the counter organization for the organized crime syndicate might just have some qualities that you really do look for in a real life partner. Not the billionaire part. That would be cool, but yeah, that anyway. I'm talking about that growly protector part, or maybe the dirty talker part, or a specific look that they have, because come on some level, that's important too. Most of us have a type. We know which characters we're drawn to, and we know which people we're drawn to, because they kind of fit that type. And when it comes to getting those swoony feelings going, that type is part of it. I mean, I have a type. I actually did kind of marry my type, which is kind of cool. But those of you who know me, you tease me about my type. It's okay. I see it. I'm okay with my type. I can be comfortable admitting at this point that I have a type. And there are so many readers and authors I've connected with because of that type. And that's kind of cool too, right? I'm not afraid of them stealing my husband, but you know, we can share book boyfriends. That's a thing. And then, you know, you have something to talk about, something to connect with. And then there are the type breakers. These are the characters who defy the type that we've been drawn to because there's something special about them that transcends the type and the trope and the genre that we usually find ourselves falling into. And we jump into conversations online and in person about those characters too. And we talk about them with so much clarity that it's like they're real people and we actually know them and we can connect with them. So here we go. One of the arguments I read and I hear a lot is that romance novels create unrealistic expectations for partners. And on some level, I'm sure that they do. We dive into romance because we want to use it as an escape. So we don't necessarily need our types and our characters and our love interests to be realistic, because part of that romance novel that we've dived into, part of the romance novel that we have sunk ourselves into is the lack of reality and realism in it. It's part of that escapism. And we love our characters for that too. So, but here's my take on having that expectation based on what you're reading. If readers are creating expectations for their partners based on fictional characters, that does not mean that real men or women shouldn't or can't step up to make those expectations realistic. Now, well, bless you, sneezy puppy. I'm not talking about the billionaire thing. I'm also not talking necessarily about the looks and the appearance and the endowment thing, because yeah, I get it. That physical aspect is part of what draws you to a character, but that might not be realistic in real life. It might, good for you, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the way an author creates a book boyfriend or girlfriend in the way that they treat their partners and the people who aren't their partners. I'm talking about emotional expectations. So, okay, let me gather thoughts here and grab a concrete example. And oh, I've got one. I've got a good one. Cooper Miles. Different Cooper from the one Pippa announced last week. That's Cooper Rock. That's in Pippa's universe. That's the Pippaverse. Cooper Miles is, oh, crap, I'm going to have two book boyfriends with the same name. Okay, anyway, that's a discussion for a completely different episode. Anyway, Cooper Miles, back to my discussion. If you're not familiar with Cooper Miles, okay, first of all, why not? You need to read Claire Kingsley's Miles Family series. Cooper's book is book 3, Reckless Miles, but don't start at book 3. Start at book 1, because you get the full Cooper experience from the very beginning of book 1. Right? So please, please, please start with book 1 in Claire Kingsley's Miles Family. And when you get to Cooper's book, book 3, come on back and tell me how much you love him. And then continue reading, because he continues into book 4 and book 5. And yes, people fall for him. Readers fall for him because he's sexy and he's hot and he's this protectory type and he's a fun, big goofball of a guy. But he's so much more. He is, honestly, one of the most amazingly layered characters I have ever read. I've read a lot of books, not just within romance, but remember, I was an English major, taught English for years, language arts for years. I've read a whole bunch of stuff. I've done studies on other books with layered characters. And when I read Cooper's book, Cooper Miles, the first time, it was a damn moment for me in my romance journey. Because there are so many layers to him. And huge, huge props to Claire Kingsley for embracing everything he had to offer and listening to his character and setting him in the books before his book and after his book. And his dedication is in his book is wonderful. I don't have it up in front of me. Darn it, I probably should. But it's something to the effect of, Cooper, here's your book. Will you please be quiet now? Because he's a talker and he's so wonderful in the things that he does and says. And he sets a seriously high standard for dealing with people in his life. He comes across as that big old goofball, but man, that emotional expectation that was fulfilled with his character, it doesn't even have to be for his love interests. So, okay, spoiler alert, you might want to mute for like 3 or 4 seconds here. It's the breakup box and the blanket fort and so many things that he does that have nothing to do with his romance side character that just break free from him as a character when he becomes that romance side character that just make him to be so awesome and really set expectations for physical and intimate expectations that are relevant and friendship expectations that are relevant and just being a good human expectations that are relevant. And damn it, why is it unrealistic for someone to want a partner who cares about their physical needs, but so much more than that, cares about their emotional needs? And okay, yeah, it's selfish. Damn it, we're allowed to be selfish. But I don't think it's unrealistic to take some of what we read and make it a characteristic of what we're looking for and what we expect in our partners. It's not unrealistic to read something that makes you feel so wonderful from a character that elevates people around them to such an amazing level and then say, I want some of that in my life. I think it's actually pretty cool. So, circling around a little bit, because wow, that was just some real brain squirrel havoc, looking at my notes also. The beauty of these characters and the connections is not just the connection we make with the character. It's not just how they make us feel about ourselves and the lives that we have or the lives that we want. It doesn't just give us another interpretation or another look of what a relationship can look like. It allows us to connect with readers and authors because of the ways that they've connected with their characters. When they truly listened to their characters and they wrote their books the way the characters demanded the books be written, they create characters that transcend just that book. They create characters that build connections. They create characters that become the best advertisement for that author that they can have because people continue to talk about these characters and how much they were impacted by the characters and the friends they've made because of the characters and that character's book. I want to leave you today with part of a conversation that I just had with an author that I edit for. I just finished first edits for Carissa Graysick for her newest novel, which is coming out soon, and it's called Reactivated Cassian, and it is part of her Project Phoenix series. And I sent her a message, and I said, edits are done. You're good to go. And we chatted for a few minutes about my thoughts on the book in general, which I love. It is so good. It's so good. I'm still got a little bit of an edit hangover, and I'm going to read it again because I get to read it with arcs with second edits. She said to me, she sent me a message and she said, it's ironic how the one guy who was never supposed to get a book of his own seems to have become a fan favorite. And isn't that beautifully perfect? Carissa, as an author, had a plan. These were the characters who were going to get books. Cassian wasn't on that list. But through developing her characters more as they told their stories, and her creating this series with this overarching plot line. The characters were basically telling her, we know that was your plan, but this is your plan now. And she listened to them. And they... I love this. Before the end of the month, Cassian's story will be told. And the buzz it's already creating on her social media for people wanting to read this book, for a character who wasn't supposed to have a book, because the author listened and said, I hear you. I recognize you. I value you. You're getting your own book, dude. You're getting your book. And the readers are ecstatic. And honestly, if you are a reader friend who has read Project Phoenix and you're going to get Cassian's book soon, I want you to message me when you have that slam the Kindle shut moment, because I had it. I slammed my laptop lid shut. And I was like, oh, no. Trust the author. Trust the author. When you reach for that first tissue in this book, message me. You can even complain to me about the manicure you ruined because you were biting your nails down while you were reading this book. And it makes that character's story so worth it. So worth it. When they get to read that story the way the character told it, it's so important and so key. And it really cemented in my mind how much an author can do with her characters when she listens to them, or when he listens to them. And they write that book that the characters are telling them the way the characters want it to be told. It is so amazingly worth it. 27 minutes. Wow. I didn't think I was going to get that much, but the brain squirrels did take over a little bit. Yep, I am still waiting for Older Spawn's help with some intro stuff, which, by the way, Older Spawn turns 18 today. I cannot believe I have an 18-year-old little adult in my house. But anyway, you can still find me. You can find the blog at brazensblog.com. You can access the ramblings from the podcast. I'll have notes on there. You can read the blogs on there. You can still find me on Facebook at Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, on Instagram and TikTok at Brazen Bookworm. And apparently now I'm on Discord as well, also as Brazen Bookworm. It's BrazenBookworm. Don't forget the Y's, Brazen Bookworm. You can find my direct me link through the Facebook page. If you want to get to all of the other links, they're all on there, or through my Instagram. So if you go to Instagram and you go to the bio, there's a direct me link in there that will get you to the blog, the Facebook page, Discord for discussion, TikTok, everything's there. And I really hope you take some time to drop into the comments on any podcast post on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Discord, and let me know what you thought of the episode. Let me know if something resonated with you. Let me know how you feel about the characters you've connected with and the bookish friends you've connected with over specific characters and the authors you've found that you love because of the characters that they write. Also, let me know what you want to hear me ramble about next. What should the brain squirrels tackle in the next episode? You can message me on Facebook or Instagram. You can email me, brazenbookworm@gmail.com. Drop into Discord. But let me know what your thoughts are. Let me know how you're feeling about all this. That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me, for popping in and listening, for sharing my podcast and my latest adventures with your friends on your social medias. And I really cannot wait to connect with y'all again.